Welcome to Sent 315. We're here to encourage and equip Christians to engage in the adventure of sharing Jesus with those that God puts into their life. And we're so glad you're here.
So glad.
Brianna, I have to tell you, I really appreciate your style today. You're styling.
Thank you.
Yeah. She's always.
You got a lot of different looks, that's for sure, but you look particularly beautiful today.
Thank you. I feel like this is one look.
Well, this is a look, I feel.
Yeah.
No,
well,
I like
this
it
is
too.
Actually kind of what I wear when we go to winter camp.
Oh, I can understand.
It's giving slight winter camp vibes outside, but this is kind of like my winter camp getup.
It's making me sweat.
Well, okay, I'm pretty certain I know how Matt got his hat. He could tell us that story, but how'd you get an NYPD hat?
I have an NYPD beanie that I got at a thrift store, like all good things.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah, Carter Kiefer would be really proud of me right now.
Is that right?
He loves thrift shopping.
I spent half of my waking hours the last 2 days at thrift stores with Sylvia.
Yeah, my mom always thrift shopped, no matter what. Like, even when she later in life could afford to not thrift shop, she always thrift shopped.
Sylvia mixes the Nordstrom with the thrift. She's a master of it. They ask her to speak on it, but it's exhausting to me. Jack, you do any thrift store shopping?
Yeah, I go to swap meet twice a week.
Oh, cool.
Oh, wait till you hear. Well, this is
so
going to be crazy. And by the way, will we have it in the picture? Just say what's on your hat, Matt. I
don't even know what's on my hat.
Yes, you do.
It has something to do with the Navy. Oh, it says Surface Combat Systems Training Command.
Yeah, I want that hat really bad.
Did you enlist or something? What happened?
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. Good idea. Yeah. You and your boy.
Yeah, take people with broken backs, broken necks. If you can't walk, it's okay.
And
the U.S. military will take
these days, all you got to do is press a button.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
No, I got it from my son, obviously, who I'm very proud of.
Shout out to Kyle.
With whom I am well pleased.
Oh, yeah.
Same.
And he is an amazing young man. Okay, so I've told you guys about Jack a little bit.
Yes.
And he is the church at the swap meet. That might be the title of this episode. So, Jack,
I got where this is going.
Oh, this is something good. No, actually, you don't.
Oh, good.
So what happened today, Jack, as we were hiking on the trails today?
It was amazing.
It was amazing.
I'm all into some cool spider webs and flowers, and we're talking great stuff, and then this lady comes up from behind us and goes, hey, can you guys get out of the way? And we were talking to somebody who was...
He was interesting. He really wanted to talk.
F-bomb this and that.
Wonderful.
So she goes, can I go to the left or the right of you? And we kind of made way, and she went through, and she recognized Kevin. And anyway, but she kept going, and so we ended up running into her again.
Yeah.
And God is the furthest thing from my mind at that point, and sadly, probably a lot of, but he's all around, but I don't see it. Anyways, they're talking about marathons and
she's a trail racer.
Oh,
and Kevin's looking into her eyes, really listening to her, and I'm just watching this. And then he says, can you do me a favor? And I'm like, what's he going to ask for? And he said, I try to pray for somebody I don't know every day. And I thought, oh, wow. And he goes, can I pray for you? And he said, what can I pray for you? And she starts tearing up. And it took her 2 or 3 minutes. It took her forever to get it out.
She said, let's walk.
Yeah. And then she said, I'm afraid to die. And she said, I want to be with my daughter and my granddaughter. And then Kevin said, let's pray. And I'm thinking, when I tell people I'm going to pray for them, I go home and pray for them.
Right.
Yeah.
But not Kevin.
Nope.
They held hands together, and he just shared the Lord with her. And he said, do you want to accept the Lord? And she said, yes, but I don't know what to say. And he said, is it okay if you just repeat after me? And he said, I'm a sinner. I know I need saving, and I believe that you died for my... It was just amazing.
And, wow.
Yeah.
And
still crying.
Yeah, it was, wow.
Like, he literally just dropped her on the trail for you guys to, like, minister to her. Like, that's how much he loves her.
She kept saying, I don't believe in coincidence.
Yeah.
She had her taxes done, and she was talking about being afraid of dying to her tax lady. She goes, well, do you want to just
say that out loud. Just want to tell him. And so you could just tell God was pursuing her. God was after her. Man, it was like
that
nuts.
That is amazing.
I got to get Jeremy McGarrity on the show. He hasn't
yes,
been
we
on
do.
Yet. So she tells somebody a little while ago, her husband. She's talking to her husband about being afraid of dying. And she's 50-something and real fit. She's a trail racer. And I asked her, is there a reason why
it's just fear.
You're thinking about it? And she goes, and I told my husband that, and then Skyline Church, Jeremy McGarrity came up on the news. And I started videoing the television because Jeremy was speaking something. So she started going to his church. And I said, I just did a memorial for a guy named Dan, and he was 89 years old. And I said, at one point in his life, he gave his life to the Lord, and the Lord used him to really bless a lot of people. And he wasn't afraid to die. I said, you know, just ask her, do you want that fear to be gone? Because it could be gone right here, right now, on this trail. She goes, it's so funny. Where are you a pastor at? And I said, Foothills. She goes, I drive by your church every single day. I'm outside salesperson on Pioneer. I said, well, you're invited. Wow. She goes, I just said, if I don't, kind of, I don't like what I hear at Skyline, I'm going to Foothills. I'm going to check that out. If I don't like what I hear at Foothills, I'm going to go to Shadow Mountain. I'm going somewhere because she was seeking him. She was seeking him.
Yeah.
But she didn't know he was seeking her.
Wow.
He was seeking her. But this is what's really crazy. Hey, Bob Whitelaw, you better be listening or you'll be embarrassed. I'm talking about you. A few weeks ago, the reason she recognized me is because we're out on the trail and we're headed, Bob Whitelaw and I are doing the same thing that Jack and I were doing. I'm just talking about the Lord, talking about stuff and walking a few miles. And two of these little baby deer start coming across the asphalt road that's right by the parking lot there, the dirt lot. And so we all freeze up and stop, and she's there. That's why she recognized me. We were watching those deers, and she was videoing them. I said, send me a picture of those deers. That was so cool. I was so hoping I could get a picture of that because I didn't have my phone with me. And so Bob was with me that day, and then that's why she recognized me, and she stopped, and we talked, and it was just, boom, here you go. And was so...
I like the simplicity of the whole interaction.
Yeah.
It's very weighty, but it was like... It just felt like it was very simple. You didn't have to produce a sermon.
No.
Or any type of like benediction or anything like that. It was just very much like, do you want to know God? Because all these questions you have and all these fears you have can be rectified in Jesus.
It was such an honor because I know if she sticks long enough at Jeremy's church, she's going to get part of an altar call and give her life to Jesus.
I got to tell you, I got a chance to drive by there Easter morning. Didn't, but I just was driving by. There was a line a mile long.
Of cars.
A mile down Campbell Road.
Yeah.
Trying to get into there.
There's a lot of great churches.
I mean,
there really are. It's happening
praise the Lord that I have a friend in Pine Valley that has a church in Pine Valley.
Yeah.
They are averaging 600 to 700 people that are coming from 20, 30, 40 miles away to go to church in Pine Valley at the old Majors diner building. When we went up there to set it up with them, they were like 50, 100 people tops.
Wow.
Going so to God's Pine Valley. Growing it, man. Just growing it.
Did anything happen on Easter at Foothills?
I don't know. I might have happened.
Mini future quests. No, I'm just kidding.
There was a lot of water.
Yeah,
there
was,
there was a lot of water.
So Jack went out of town, so he didn't get to see this.
Man, why don't you share it, Pastor, just so that it's out there.
Yeah, there was a lot. We had baptisms on Easter.
For the first time ever in the history of the church.
Ever. And for both for first service and second service, we had a specific number of people.
It was planned, yeah.
Baptism.
Yeah, it was about 80 people.
Yeah, 80 people. I think it was like split between both services.
Yeah, it was
people. Mm-hmm. And through the Lord moving, we ended up actually baptizing like 220 people.
Oh my.
For like both services.
That's so cool.
And so both services ended up just being worship and baptism. So we would baptize the people that want to get baptized, and then Neil, led by the Lord, would say, like he said, I really feel like we want to keep going. If you're here, doesn't matter like what you're dressed in, what you like planned on doing today, if you've been thinking that you want to get baptized, if you're a Christian, you've given your life to the Lord, and you want to take the next step, come down. First service, immediate line.
Yeah.
Immediate line. And there's, I can't see, I'm on stage worshiping. I can't see it. It's like going back behind and I'm like, oh, like I don't know how long it is. Second service, he said it again, and there was like one person that came down. I was thinking like, okay, if one person gets baptized that was not planning on it, praise God. And then it's like that one person like broke whatever fear
Amen.
Everybody yeah. else had.
Amen.
And then it was just like another person, a line, 120 people
yeah.
oh my goodness.
In line. So it was just worship. And the best part about it is I always tell people, I get people that do worship, they get like a really cool perspective from stage yes. of things happening.
Yes, yeah. sir.
So like I got to see everybody basically that was in line getting baptized. And for me personally, I have a friend who actually, Kevin, you talked to in the lobby. Your name is Jasmine. She, I look down and she's in line. And I'm like, wait, what do you mean? You don't even live here. Like, what are you in line for our baptism? And I've known her since I was in high school. And I see her, she's crying. She's, and then afterwards in the lobby, I was like, what the heck was that? And then she's all, yeah, I was literally here happenstance. She lives in LA because that's where she works. And she's, I was here happenstance. And she goes, Kevin came up to me and we were talking. He's all, you should get baptized. And I was like, no, I don't think I'm going to the Holy Spirit, unless the Holy Spirit speaks to me.
Yeah.
But I don't think I'm going to. And then she was like, and then Neil opened up for people to get baptized. And immediately I was like, yeah, I have to. And so she,
that was
like,
so cool.
She went down and got baptized. I'm literally standing there. I look up, one of my old high schoolers who I haven't actually seen physically in 5 years was like, she came, she was just coming down the aisle by herself. She has no family here. She was with her boyfriend, but she has no mom, dad, sister here. Came down the aisle by herself. She hasn't actually been to church in 5 or 6 years.
Yeah.
And she came on Good Friday, got in line by herself, got baptized. And I was like, afterwards, I look over again. My father-in-law is getting baptized. Then I look down, my friend Parker Kiefer, his brother-in-law and his whole family is getting baptized. One of my high schoolers and I mentor got baptized. My other high schooler, my small group, her and her stepfather and her little sister got baptized.
Wow.
And these were all the people that were like, weren't planning on it, didn't plan on doing it. And so I was just like, and then this is the one that actually got me. I'm on stage, I look in line, and Marty and Paula Wilson's son is standing in line. His name is Caleb, I think.
Caleb.
And I've actually, me and Caleb were actually the same age. And I, when I was in high school, he was in high school group as well. And I knew him. We weren't close friends, but I knew him, had interactions with him. And he's, he, over the last lot of years, he's fallen away from church and had a really rough time in life. And he's been slowly coming back to church over, I think, like the last year and a half. And it's interesting because every time I've seen him at church, it's like he's gained back more of his mind. Like when I first saw him, I was like, oh yeah. And then every time I've seen him, it's been more and more of the Caleb that I remember. And I look over and he's in line, and he's in line for the, like, if you really want to come, no matter what you're wearing, baptism part. And immediately I thought of this line in a song called Defender, where the bridge says, it says, even when I lost me, you know where I left me. You reintroduced me to myself. You picked up all the pieces and you brought me back together. You're the defender of my heart. And then instantly I was like, oh my gosh, that's Caleb's story.
Yeah.
God literally gave him back his mind and his sanity. And now he's here declaring before everybody that he's going to re-give his life to the Lord.
That happened to one of our senior pastors too.
It was, yeah, oh, it was just true. Like, and I had some friends who I was talking to, and they like, they have a different opinion, but they were really like, there were some people that wanted to come to church to hear a message, and they weren't prepared to not have a message. They had brought people that didn't
there
really
was
go
a
to
message.
Church.
There was a message.
And I, that's what, no, that's what I said. I said that there was a message. The message was, give your life to the Lord, deny yourself, pick up your cross,
yeah,
follow
man.
Him,
yep.
be baptized, and die to yourself. That was the message. Yeah. Being, that was the message to preach in physical form.
Yeah, I heard it as let's go.
No,
yeah.
It, and this is the point, and I know we're going to let Jack speak too.
So okay, that,
I
that was
yeah,
that's
no, that's a good okay. idea. Yeah. No, Jack's having fun, but and he's a great listener. But yeah, anyway, one of them. There's tons of stories. There's even more. One girl is at Starbucks, and she's looking at her phone, and she sees, oh, what's going on at Foothills? And she sees what's happening, leaves, comes over, and gets baptized.
Wait, what? Yeah. Wait, say that again? She was
a
where?
A girl was at Starbucks,
oh, that's right,
watching the service on her phone, gets hit by the Spirit. No, you got to be a part of this. Drives over from Starbucks, gets in line, and gets baptized. And I got to tell you something. It's a move of the Spirit. When a woman gets ready for Easter Sunday, her hair is done, she's in her dress, I'm like the towel boy. So I just get to pray for people and stuff. It's hideously crazy good.
Wow.
And so I've just said, the Lord knows the sacrifice that you're making, getting baptized in your Easter best. Mm-hmm. He's gonna honor that. Just hold your dress down. Yeah. And Lulu's there with... We didn't know what the Lord was going to do, but Neil Hoffman has told our staff and our church, Father, hijack the sermon. Hijack the service. We're here for you. And for a pastor to give up his sermon, that's pretty amazing. All of that. And it's the same way, like you get in the story of Skyline and some of the other churches. And the kind of thing with all of the, what happened on the trail today, some woman watching deers cross the road 2 weeks ago, and then she's just struggling with fear of dying, even though she's fit and healthy and probably 50-something, wouldn't you say, something like that? If you're listening to this one, Kim, and you're a lot younger than 50, you look great. You're doing good. But he's breathing on it. He is bringing people together like you and me. He is accelerating, like we had talked about a few weeks ago on the show. He's on it. God is up to something. After Charlie Kirk's murder, hundreds of people just at our church alone are coming. It, because of the impact of what that did, that tragedy, that horrible thing that happened, the Lord's using it. And he's using you at the swap meet.
Yeah, I'm actually so interested in hearing about this.
So give a little bit of background and then the conversation that you're having with that guy and whatever else the Lord tells you to share, because this is going to help equip people where God has planted them. He planted you at the swap meet. He's planted them other places. So what's that story about?
First of all, I have a long way to go. I don't have it.
Don't we all? Except for Brianna.
I'm in that boat.
So I'm a retired teacher, and I have a business. I buy old photographs, documents, letters, and so forth. And so when I go to the swap meet, it's about get in there as quick as you can, get as much stuff before your competitors get it. And people that have the stuff are just cows that I'm milking. And as a Christian, the Lord has been working on me over these years to try to get me to see that people are more important than things. And there's been a lot of things. I'm going to go see a guy after this, one of my pickers, and he makes fun of me because I don't buy the pornography. Vintage pornography is worth a lot of money, and he thinks it's funny, and he throws stuff out just to irritate me. But anyways, I started thinking about sharing the gospel with these people, because there's a lot of hurting people out at the swap meet, and just a variety of people. There's people that are one step away from being homeless, and then there's millionaires who bring these huge semis full of stuff and hire a bunch of people. And there are all kinds of people there. One of my friends is he says he's a black Muslim, but I know more about the Quran than he does. And then there's the three big time dealers who are full on Muslims. And there's old hippies, just all kinds of people just hurting. And anyways, the incident you're talking about is fairly recent. I just felt like I needed to share the Lord with this Muslim man, and he said to me, it started out, there was some Jewish item I picked up, and he said something about those Zionists. He was full of hate. And anyways, he said, you know that the Jews killed your Jesus. And thinking back, I wish they would have said, you and I killed Jesus, but I'm new at all this evangelism. I'm new, but I'm not. When I was like, young man, we had to go out with the four spiritual laws booklet and all this stuff.
Yeah.
I didn't like that kind of stuff. But I like the way Kevin's, his evangelism is, he said something about it, it's like a garden where you are and you need to, I didn't say bloom where you're planted, but it's...
It's that kind of thing. You need to nurture and tend the garden where God's planted you. That's Mark Hoffman again.
I said, Jesus loves you. And I said, we have a major disagreement. I know he's the second most important prophet to you. It can't be that. I did the old C.S. Lewis. He's either crazy or evil or he's the son of God.
Yeah. Liar, lunatic, or Lord.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Yeah. And so then... And then I wasn't ready. He said something like, where in the Bible does it say that Jesus is God? And I said something about in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And he goes, that's not Jesus. So anyway, I'm like stumbling. And it didn't go as smooth as this morning went at all. And so then I kind of went out with my tail between my legs. And then I'm a teacher. So when I hear something, even a good sermon, it's like God has to slap me by the side of the head to get him to listen to him, because I'm all like, oh, I could teach this in this class. But sometimes God is speaking to me. And so anyway, I wrote all these verses down that I was going to share with him, and I was going to beat him up with the gospel.
And I love the way you put that.
Kevin said something about speak the truth in love, and I'm all, this is the truth, but there wasn't a whole lot of love in there.
Yeah.
And so anyway, I'm all ready, and being the senile guy that I am, Saturday morning I forgot to bring my list of all the verses. And so all the way to swap meet, in addition to praying, Lord, help me to see people instead of the stuff. And I said, okay, I don't have these verses. I'm just going to love on them. So after shopping a while, wheeling, dealing and stuff, we sat down and somehow we started talking about God again. And I said, I heard that even Muhammad himself said in the Quran that he's not sure if he's going to go to heaven. And I said, I know I'm going to heaven. Not because I'm messed up. When he said something like, I'm trying to be a good man. I'm trying to do what's right. I'm trying to treat people the way they should be treated. I try to be fair, but I'm always worried that I'm going to do some sin and I'm not going to make it to heaven. And I'm just hoping that God will show grace to me. Allah will show grace to me. And I said, and if you believe Jesus, you don't have that. I said, I mess up all the time, but I know I'm going to heaven because he died on the cross for me. It's not about what I do. And I said, it's not a license to sin. I try to do the right thing in gratitude to God. And it was kind of cool. And then he said, this isn't really the place to talk about it. So that was the end of our last conversation.
But see, hearing the tone of that, Brianna, it just warms my soul. Because instead of it being, as you planned, a intellectual debate over the scholarly assertions of Christ in the Bible kind of thing, this guy's opening up to you, telling you that he does have that fear, and it is important to him. And this conversation is going to continue. You've already built some relationship with him. And that's the point that really struck me, is that people are planted places and they're scurrying so quickly. All those cool things that we saw on the trail today, like some flowers that weren't there before, and the spider webs. Have you ever seen spider webs in a field and they have those little funnels to catch things in?
I think so.
And when the dew sets on it, it is like silver. It just shines and glistens, and it's deadly for the any little creatures that end up there.
For some people, that's their nightmare. Yeah.
But there's just the trail is so good for the soul, because there's just so many things. A few weeks before, we see two little deers are just kind of confused, stumbling across the street, don't know where mom's at. You just get to see things and go slower and see the grandeur of God.
Yeah. And I like that you were able to go back and do your own research and be prepared, because I think that thinking about the mission statement verse for our podcast, the first part it says being ready to give an account. And I think that understanding the Word of God and having that ready, because I've seen a lot of videos of talking to different religions, Muslims, and there's some that are a little bit more difficult to converse with because they're ready with their kind of like slingshot of verses to counter argue Christianity, and that's a big one, is like that Jesus did not say he was God, and they're like very adamant that they can prove it. And so I like that you were able to go back and research to be able to say, and also I think it shows humility. I think being able to say, yeah, I'm not an ancient theologian historian, let me go back and get some answers to your questions, and then hopefully be able to come back and have a conversation. I think that for somebody else, hopefully that can plant a seed of, oh, this person is humble and willing to be like, yeah, I'm not perfect, let me go and let me go and ask the Lord, and then I can come back and have a conversation and do it in love. Because I think that at the end of the day, it's the Holy Spirit that transforms hearts.
Always.
The Bible says Jesus draws us to himself. Doesn't say how, but it does say that he draws us to himself through a lot of different means, through somebody, sometimes even through somebody just having humility. They might be like, you know what, I was expecting an argument and you didn't belittle me, and that made me start questioning, like, why didn't he do that? Maybe it was because of his God or something.
Yeah. That preparation, because 1 Peter 3:15 talks about always being prepared to give an answer for the hope that's within you. And that's exactly what you did. And the thing about it is what the Lord interjected into it by him hiding all of your notes so you wouldn't take them, because I think he was in that. The preparation is that tone, that heart tone of love, as well as the preparation of digging into the Word and saying, hey. And we talked about it, because we were talking about this guy last time we went out, right? Yeah. And it was like, okay, I don't have all the answers, just like Brianna is saying, but you know what? That's a good question. I want to dig into that. And then what happens is, instead of a debate about, is he a prophet, is he God, you're sharing with him, hey, this is what I found. This is what I saw the Bible says. So you've got your truth together, but that tone penetrates argument and intellect.
I put too much pressure on myself.
You do.
And it's not about me, it's about him. Mm-hmm. Like the first guy we saw on the trail, there was no opportunity. And so I would be, okay, should I have said something? It was like, you're like, there just wasn't, it wasn't the time. He wasn't wanting to listen.
I kind of threw it out there. We kind of tried to, but this guy was talking, not listening. And he was in a different place.
But you are always looking, and I'm so busy with my agenda oftentimes that when you said to the lady was something like she was seeking God, but she didn't realize that he had always been seeking you.
She might not have noticed, but now she was.
Yeah.
Jack, refresh my memory, because I think you said senile, I'll claim that too. Did we pray for somebody and you said, I like teaching, but I really don't like praying.
Yes.
Who did we pray for that I said, you pray?
I thought I'd be safe in the middle of nowhere in these trails, but with this guy.
You're never safe anywhere with Kevin.
No.
Spider webs are all around.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then he made me pray. I was thankful. I thought he was going to ask me to pray this time. But we were, about a month ago, there was a woman with two teenagers that, you know, first of all, it amazed me that two teenagers would want to be on a hike with their mother. But anyway, you had...
Oh my gosh, yes. It was somebody from our church.
Oh.
Yeah.
That was what it was. It was such a God thing. It was close to where we were at.
Yes.
Right on that bridge. I'm going to go there every day. Yeah, this is a friend of mine from Foothills, and her kids were there. Yeah, and we got to pray for them, and you got to pray for them.
Yes, I got to pray for
him. Yes, you did. You had the privilege and the honor.
Because that's what it is. It is got to. It is get to, you know.
Yeah.
It is a privilege to get to pray
sweet,
for people.
Wasn't it?
I love that, man.
There's
that's
a reason
amazing
why,
story.
There's a reason why Jack and I are hanging out, man. We're having a good time.
Yeah.
He's stretching me.
Well, when I first talked to Jack, we met each other at the Newcomers, or Next Step, whatever meal we were doing that time. And it's just, you know how there's just a resonance, you just click with somebody, like right off the bat. So there was some of that, right?
Yeah.
And then when we were walking, you talked about how for years and years you had studied and taught about forgiveness. And so my antenna was up, because if we're not forgiving people, that can get in the way. If we're full of unforgiveness, be sharing the freedom of Jesus when we're not forgiving people, or in even more, some of the time when we're not forgiving people, we're not accepting the forgiveness of God. And we don't even know it. We're just not forgiving that other person who was a jerk. You know what I mean? And so I was going to bring Jack on to speak about forgiveness, like with Michael Cook. Yeah. Michael Cook wrote a book on forgiveness that's just magnificent. But I think this is the conversation that the Lord wanted to have for people to understand. God is on the move.
Yeah.
Something is up. Don't miss this.
Yeah.
People who need him are everywhere. In Ephesians 2:10, we're his workmanship, created for good works that he's prepared beforehand for us to do what happened today, to walk in it.
And you don't have to be Kevin Miller.
Thank the Lord.
Yeah.
You don't have to be Kevin Miller.
This show is not for evangelists.
Yeah.
This show is for normal folks to share Jesus exactly how God made them. I am not the church at the swap meet. You are. And so when I'm thinking about you, I can pray for you that you get those opportunities and you step into them, you notice them, and you are. So you are being too hard on yourself that you're not doing something.
That's good.
Yeah.
So Jack, you got anything else you would like to share before we pray for all of these unsuspecting listeners who are going to go take over the world?
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything he's teaching you, anything that's going on you just want to?
Right now, I guess he's just saying be available, be on the lookout, because I get so caught up in what I'm doing, and like you said, there's hurting people everywhere, and I just turned 70, and it's kind of, what am I, I'm retired, and what is my purpose in life, and I need to be open to whatever he has for me.
Yeah. I turned 70 in September. And this season, the most important season is the season that you're in. And it's important to him. And I'm going to talk you into working a youth venture shift. And you're going to love it.
That'd be really fun.
The kids respond to grandpas.
That's
They do. Yeah.
Yeah. Can confirm.
Okay. I'm going to pray. I'm not going to make Jack pray.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Father, oh, thank you for just always showing up. Thank you for what Jack said. Be available. Be on the lookout. And I pray for the people who have their version of the swap meet. Father, they would understand where you have planted them, the person that's listening right now, that you would give them a revelation like you did with Jack. That these people are so important to you, God. They're so important to you. You sent your son to die. You went all in for the people that are surrounding us. And Father, you just breathing on our meager, my effort today, Father, I started stuttering. I don't stutter. And I was so excited about your presence and what your intentions were that I couldn't even get the words out. It was hilarious. So Father, bless the people that are listening. Bless that person right now who doesn't think they have purpose in where they're planted and what they're doing. And Father, I pray for Kim. I pray for this woman who was afraid to die, and now she's not. And Father, I thank you that I think she is the type of person that you'll send next to the next person who needs to hear that message of your goodness. We love you, Lord. Have your way with us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.